Welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast from ExchangeWire, bringing you the latest news and views from the world of ad tech, media, and marketing.
Hello, and welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast. I'm Grainne Reid, Head of Marketing at ExchangeWire, and your host for today's episode. Joining me is Daniel Sichel, Managing Director at Webtopia.
Hello, lovely to be here.
It's great to have you here, Daniel. Alongside Daniel, we've got Rachel Smith, ExchangeWire CEO. Great to have you, Rachel, as always.
Thank you very much for having me on the podcast.
We're going to be diving into three major news stories making headlines this week. The UK's Competition and Markets Authority officially designates Google as having strategic marketing status in search services. MPs are being urged to investigate TikTok's plans to cut 439 content moderation roles across the UK, as well as Reddit makes a bold move on Madison Avenue, snapping up a key advertising executive to drive brand partnerships. First up, the Competition and Markets Authority has officially designated Google with strategic market status in general search and search advertising services. It was confirmed that AI-based search features such as AI Overviews and AI Mode are in scope of the designation. Google's Gemini AI assistant is not, although this decision will be kept under review as the market develops. Designating Google with strategic market status is not a finding of wrongdoing and does not introduce any immediate requirements. It does enable the CMA to consider proportionate, targeted interventions to ensure that general search services are open to effective competition and that consumers and businesses are treated fairly. Consultations examining possible interventions will begin later this year. Daniel, I'm going to come to you first on this. What do you think we can expect from the CMA case?
At some point, it's going to echo what's happened in the US, for sure. I think this sets them up for labeling them, categorizing them into a position which will allow them to scrutinize the details of how the engine runs. What I did find really interesting was that AI was considered in this case as well, and that did feel like they were future-proofing some of the dangers we're all familiar with. It's the AI search features that are being launched. It doesn't surprise me that the UK hasn't really come down, the CMA hasn't really come down on them yet. I'd say that it's frustrating considering everything else is happening, and you know the recent history of how Google have been legislated. But it does fill me with some confidence that now they've been categorized in a way that will allow them to be scrutinized further in the near future.
Mm.
Rachel, what do you think, and how does this build on exactly kind of what Daniel has alluded to with the US case?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I like the idea that they have come up with this kind of special position in the market designation, because it's clearly, I think, the precursor to being able to implement some measures as a result of regulation, right? So it's the first step. It's the regulatory step. It's define what type of business you are within the market, and then we can start to build some regulatory controls around businesses of that size in the market, how they should behave, what they can do, what they can't do from a competition point of view and also from an operational point of view. I think so far my sort of interpretation of it is that the angle that the CMA are taking with this strategic market status kind of complements what the DOJ are trying to achieve with their anti-competition case against Google in the US, where what they're looking at is, you know, competition and dominance, and they're looking to try to counteract that to make sure that there is still a functional marketplace where competitors can thrive. Good luck to them. I don't think that's an easy thing to do when you're talking about Google and tech companies of that size. And then I suppose the CMA angle is much more about, and so then how do those businesses behave and how can we regulate them and how can we create not just a marketplace that is not anti-competitive, but also a marketplace that reflects good business practices. And then you've kind of got the angle that Daniel's already hit on, which is it's interesting that they scooped up AI search in this too, because let's be honest, we're all using AI search. None of us are just using Chrome or any other search engine anymore. We're all using either LLMs or we're using something like Chrome that's got Gemini baked into it. So it's, again, the precursor for trying to regulate that part of the market. So, yeah.
But I agree, it's dangerous for that to be so unregulated. There's so much in the news at the moment about what's happening in AI environments like ChatGPT and being able to make purchases directly in those environments. And at the moment, we don't feel that that's being incentivized by lots of ad revenue. But as soon as you're being told that this is the best product for you by Google in an AI search feature where you may feel that you're getting a less biased opinion or something, then it becomes quite dangerous. And that's why I think it's so important that that AI was included in this consideration.
Yeah, 100%. And because, you know, brands are not going to, you know, you'll be able to tell us from the type of clients that you work with, they're not going to want to, but there's two issues on that AI search front, right? One, they need their products to be surfaced somehow because we've been relying on search for a long time as the mechanism for product discovery. But number two, they're not going to want to advertise their products in an environment that doesn't have some kind of regulation and control around it. That'll be about obviously wanting to ensure it's an environment that has consumer confidence and trust in it, but also wanting to ensure that, you know, their ads are not appearing against nefarious contents, etc. So I think this is all sort of stacking up to create, I've been saying this a little bit over the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months, we're finally reaching, I think, a point in history where the advertising technology ecosystem is becoming mature and grown up, and with that comes regulation and control. And not only are we starting to see more regulation come to the fore, but we're starting to see that regulators are understanding the platforms that they're trying to regulate a lot better. Obviously, they don't understand them to the extent that, you know, the architects of these platforms do, but they're just becoming much more versed in what these particular tools and platforms do. I'm not talking about Google here, that's fairly obvious, but, you know, when we're talking about ad tech platforms that run, you know, really technical capabilities, you're starting to see more of a wide-scale understanding of what of the implications of that, and that can only be a good thing, in my opinion.
And potentially this framework is there, and why it needs to be a precursor for what's coming is because of the complexity of Google's ecosystem, all the different environments that they own, right? Everything from Chrome to Play Store to the search feature itself. Like that makes it so complicated to govern. So I'm hoping that what we'll see next is something that encompasses not just search, but everything they're doing. You know, I was reading about legislation that was coming in to support Android and being able to have other browsers, not just Chrome, as a standard browser that's downloaded on there. And that's something that recently happened, and that is allowing for a bit more fair competition in browser searches. And the other thing I was thinking about when I was reading about this subject is one of the frustrations we see as an ad agency is just the lack of prominence that organic content now has in search features because of the prominence that Google gives to ads.
Yeah.
Everything you see above the fold now is a sponsored ad, whether that's through shopping or a PPC ad.
Yeah.
Organic just goes lower and lower. So that ability as a consumer to have a natural search journey that isn't just you're not just being showered with adverts all the time, it's really problematic and really difficult. And if they don't include AI in this legislation, then a consumer may assume that the suggestions that the AI is making towards products is not incentivized by ad revenue. But it probably is, unless this legislation comes out to govern that.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, that really gets to the heart of all the existing legislation around advertising transparency and market fairness as well. What's just interesting that you've said that, Daniel. How are you helping clients who are trying to tackle things like organic reach?
We're pushing them a lot to do a lot more on social. I think actually there was a great feature recently around SEO ranking for organic social content that's been put out. And so we are seeing a lot more brands investing more heavily into that. And it is paying dividends, not just in how they rank in search engines, but also as an inspiration for creative in paid environments. And I mean, it's a separate subject, but one of the things we're seeing at the moment is a lot of brands are pushing more towards very heavily call to action type ads in digital environments. You'd argue bottom of funnel, but ads where someone is expected to engage with it. So the inspiration and the creative ideation for those ads is fairly straightforward. And that's why we're seeing a lot more go into AI, because it's so easy somewhat to create an ad that someone's going to click on. But actually, real creativity for me is more, I'm seeing it more often in organic social content.
Yeah.
Where you really grab a user's interest, not about clicking on that ad, but it's around developing a relationship with
Absolutely.
That customer.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? And so suddenly it becomes a bit more of a transaction that is similar to the way that publishers and content creators interact with their audiences. Anyway, I'm digressing from the
Good
main
subject,
topic. Yeah, exactly.
A little bit off topic. Yeah. But no. It's yeah. really interesting.
Just one final thing I was thinking as well is that I do think that the CMA, establishing their designation for special market status, and designating a business like Google in that fashion, I'm assuming that the EU regulators are going to follow hand in hand with this. And so I think what you're going to find is that these large tech companies will have no choice but to start operationally changing the way that they deliver some of their services, because they're going to come up against lots of regulators, different regulators in different global markets. And that's going to be a real headache, right? So surely if you're thinking about the way that Google delivers its products to its customers, you must now be doing that from the perspective of understanding what regulation hurdles you're likely to trip over.
Yeah, the uniformity is going to be key, I think, to how that's classified and how it's considered, and also how they're going to be questioned. So I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And also just so you've talked about the AI angle, but AI assistants haven't been, so if they're not including Gemini at the moment, do you think that's going to come under consideration quite heavily?
Yeah, I'm totally sure that it will, for all of the reasons that we just discussed, that AI we were already accepting that AI search is, a replacement, a proxy replacement for web browser search, and effectively that's what Gemini is sort of doing. It's a bit more obviously assistant oriented. So I don't think it will be too long before they start to bring that
in. It will have to, because they'll fall foul of other laws and regulations around making it clear that if a product recommendation is an advert, because it's being influenced by ad revenue, that will 100% have to be clear to the consumer. And at the moment, it's not clear when Gemini may make a recommendation. But if they don't consider that at some point in the near future, it will be a problem.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, well, we'll certainly be watching for updates on this as they unfold. And then on to our next news story, which is about TikTok. Trade unions and online safety experts have urged UK MPs to investigate TikTok's plans to eliminate 439 content moderation jobs across its trust and safety team in London. They've warned that the job losses will have implications on online safety and expose children to harmful content. Daniel, it was quoted that the UK's data watchdog estimates TikTok to have more than 30 million UK users, and of those, 1.5 million users are under the age of 13. How serious are these risks to those teenagers and just children in general?
I think on face value, it's incredibly serious, because what it's essentially saying is that we're placing the trust of content moderation in AI, because that's the direction that all these platforms are going in. It's less human moderation, more AI moderation. And that brings some very clear dangers. There are some maybe conveniences of leaning towards AI, speed in which content can be moderated is probably faster through AI. But the nuance and the dangers of not having nuance, contextual nuance, localized nuance in content moderation is very problematic. We've run campaigns in the past, like YouTube was always a good example of that, where they relied very heavily on human moderators, which is why it would often take a while for ads to be approved, because it was physically a human doing it. But even there, even where you had human moderators, the localized nuance or contextualized nuance sometimes wasn't considered. So a good example I always like to give was an ad of a dancing monkey would pass most moderators, human moderators,
thresholds, yeah.
But actually, the majority of people would consider a dancing monkey on YouTube animal cruelty, and it depends on what the context is, mm-hmm. depends on whether it's a real video, where that is, and the fact it would get passed by moderators is a problem, which is why we would always use at agencies other technology partners, brand safety partners, that added a layer of moderation into that. So if we're removing any moderation, TikTok, doesn't allow those content moderators on there. And if we're relying heavily on AI, we lose all that contextual and localized nuance, we will run into a lot of issues where categorization of video content is very blanket and doesn't consider those factors. And there'll probably be a lot more content on TikTok, which is inappropriate for the age range you've quoted.
Yeah. Rachel, what repercussions do you see from these job cuts and move into AI moderation?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because Daniel's just given a really nice rundown of what that means operationally from an advertising point of view, and that sounds like a massive headache to me. I suppose there's opportunity in there for other brand safety vendors to sort of step up to the plate, which they've probably already done, quite frankly, because actually this is a move that we've seen in other social media platforms. So TikTok, frankly, are only doing what other social media platforms have done, which is start to sack a lot of their content moderators. I think probably one of the reasons why this really surfaces as an important story, though, is because we know that TikTok originally was a platform for young people. And so the majority of you, not that long ago, really, because let's think about how quickly things change in this digital world that we live in. I'd say as little as 2 years ago, the majority of those TikTok users here in the UK would probably almost certainly have been under 16 and maybe a big chunk of them under 13. It's now the demographics have changed quite significantly in a short period of time. But so I think that's what's really sharpening everyone's minds on this, the idea that, okay, content moderation isn't going to be done by humans. It's mostly going to be done by AI with a little bit of human oversight. So what does that mean in terms of, you know, from an advertising angle, brand safety and the things that you've got to do to make sure that the content contextually is appropriate and so forth. But then what does it also do to, I don't know, our society in general, right? Like, I think we're all well aware of the dangers of it's not just social media use, but it's exposure to a whole range of content that really is adult quality content, where you can at least, when you're watching some of that content, almost interpret that context yourself, but children not necessarily, right? So that feels hugely dangerous to me. And the other thing is that although there's obviously a clear role for automation here, and I'm sure that over time our automation of moderating content will get better. There's no two ways about that. That's the whole point of AI tools. So I'm sure they're going to learn and learn about what's appropriate and not appropriate, depending on what guardrails we put in, and get better at that job. But I think the main thing is that the reason that these decisions are being taken is because it's a cost-cutting exercise for social media platforms. And that still feels grossly inappropriate to me. I want to see a world where social media platforms are exposed to the same level of scrutiny that news publishers are, because they need to be. And of course, their argument has always been, well, we're not generating the content. It is user-generated content. So we can't be defined as a publisher. And secondly, we're not employing people to create this content. It's the other way around. We're just providing the platform. We're just the technology sort of framework, but they are going to need to be subjected to a much higher level of scrutiny than they currently are in this modern world of high digital consumption of content, in my view. And I don't really know what that looks like, because I accept their premise that they're not employing journalists and content writers and creators to come up with this content, but they are broadcasting it. So, you know, it would be a bit like, you know, not holding our TV broadcasters to account for the TV shows that they broadcast just because they haven't made them. It's like, well, you know, we've got to start thinking about who's responsible for what and where in that whole, you know, supply chain of content to consumer.
You picked up on something I find really interesting, and you mentioned it in our last subject, which is the frameworks governing these bodies, these platforms, are a lot less mature for social platforms as they are for search engines, for example, and news outlets. And that maybe is a problem, is that the people in charge of providing that regulation, of putting those frameworks in place and making sure that they're consistent no matter the market, don't really understand how the platforms work, how what the content is necessarily. I mean, we saw that with Meta in the US, and just the way that they were being questioned was clearly from a point of a lack of understanding of how the platforms really work, how users engage with it, et cetera, et cetera. And that in itself is a massive issue, and that will delay proper regulation that is needed being put in place. And that does fill me with fear. And there's so much for them to catch up on, right? Whether it's Meta, whether it's Pinterest, Reddit, or TikTok, there's a lot of different environments that need very heavily regulation in it. All have come with their own dangers. And I agree, removing some of the human context that is necessary with human moderators is, in the short term, is a real problem, because automation and AI just isn't in a position where we could be confident it's going to do the job it needs to, and it's then not being supported by logic or rules from regulatory bodies. It's just being, they're kind of allowed to do it themselves, TikTok, and decide on what rules those automation and AI need to follow, and that's an issue.
Yeah, and I think it's also too that this content is appearing or available on platforms and devices and in a digital context that's highly addictive. So the sort of appetite for consuming that content is never ending, frankly. We all know how easy it is to disappear down a TikTok hole or an Instagram hole or whatever and suddenly go, oh my God, that's like an hour of my life. I literally was looking at one video that a friend sent me, and an hour later I'm getting up out of the chair and going to do what I was should have done, you know, 55 minutes ago. And that's happening, you know, so we all know the sort of the scale of addiction that's associated with the way this content is presented to consumers and on the devices that it's presented to them on. So there really does need to be an uptick in, as you describe, Daniel, the speed at which regulators can try to do something about this. I accept there needs to be a balance. I absolutely don't accept that those social media platforms really need to cut costs in content moderation. There's probably other ways to cut costs, and they're loaded anyway. So I just think it's a bit of a, I don't know, they're following suit. They're just thinking this is an easy win. Let's get rid of some staff in this department because no one else is really doing it, so we don't need to do it either. And I think that's unfortunate. It sort of plays into that idea that these businesses are run purely from a commercial point of view and have absolutely no moral grounding at all. Quite interesting, actually, from TikTok's point of view, because they're still under such scrutiny in the US as a result of the on and off again ban. You would think that now might not be the time to go and sack a load of content moderators, but yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it was a 40% increase that TikTok have seen in revenue. So it's, they don't need to cut costs.
No. Yeah.
Do you think that we may see similar legislation come into social platforms that we've seen in other industries like gambling and pornographic industries with regards to age regulation, age verification checks, which they don't have, but I think is...
They should.
I think that's on its way, right, because I think you've seen, the sort of attempts towards that in places like Australia where they've implemented a social media ban for children under 16. How they actually, you know, sort of enforce that is another matter, but... And you're then starting to hear about in lots of countries, I think the UK included, and certainly I was just recently on holiday with a bunch of my Australian friends, and they were talking about how they are starting to implement blanket bans within state-run schools of bans on mobile phones. And so as you come in the morning, you have to put them in a lockbox, and, you know, you're going to start to – as soon as we start to see more and more of those controls come in, then it's just going to be obvious. It's a bit like I think about how, you know, when I was a child growing up, even though at that stage everyone knew that smoking was bad for them, smoking was still widely advertised in sporting matches, on regular television at any times of the day or the night. And now we just, to think of that seems ridiculous, right? Completely unimaginable. So I think we're probably on a similar journey with access to social media and digital devices and age control. Don't know what the end result will look like, but.
I hope so.
As a father of one and nearly two.
Yeah, we're very conscious of screen time. And my partner's school has that exact policy. They lock phones in lock boxes at the beginning of every day. And well, one of the things she says is it's, you know, it has to be supported at home.
Yeah,
That sort of education, that reminder.
That's behaviour change, right? And that's the sort of stuff that can be really difficult to influence because we're kind of, you know, we think that obviously the most vulnerable to, you know, some of the negative aspects of smartphone use and digital media consumption are always going to be younger people, people that don't necessarily understand how nefarious it can be. But we're all in this slightly addictive spiral together. We all know that our mobile phone use and our social media use is not really that good for us. So, you know.
Is it, was the Australian decision a government statement? And that is, for me, I mean, there's a lot of criticism around social platforms' inability to govern themselves. Mm. But at the end of the day, if you know that they're commercially driven platforms, why are we expecting them to make every decision primarily because of the good? Wanted to do good in the world, the governments need to legislate.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're right, because that's not going to happen. And let's go back to smoking. The only reason that we're not subjected to smoke in public environments anymore is because governments intervened and said the evidence is overwhelming and, people that have nothing to do with the decision about whether you smoke or not don't want to be in a legal environment where they're sued for ingesting secondhand smoke and getting health-related illnesses. So what we're going to have to do, guys, is introduce a law. You can't smoke inside anymore. You can't do that. And, you know, and it massively changed people's smoking behaviour, but it required governments to do it. Tobacco companies were never going to do it. Pubs and clubs were never going to do it. It required legislation. So,
yeah, why they're so afraid of that legislation, I don't know. Like putting it in place.
I think it's because, you know, in part it's still the Wild West, right? It's been since the invention of Facebook, it's been the Wild West.
But there's so many horror stories of such young people that's between trolling and seeing things that they shouldn't be seeing online, and particularly on TikTok, it's not right.
No.
That's very sad.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot more needs to be done on this, and just general safety needs to continue to grow. But let's move on to our last story of the week, which is a little bit more uplifting. Reddit has poached the former CEO of WPP Media's North America operations, Sharb Farjami. Through the move, Reddit aims to deepen its relationship with advertising agencies. He'll be responsible for building partnerships with the largest agency holdcos, and Reddit's ad business has already been growing successfully, seeing an 84% increase year over year in the most recent quarter. So, Daniel, how do you think that this move would better Reddit's position in the ad economy?
Exponentially. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Reddit for a long time has held on to this status as being one of the only purely community-driven platforms to remain. And I think anyone that uses Reddit as a consumer of its content appreciates the lack of advertising in the environment. But all these good things have to come to an end eventually. And I think this is a step that Reddit have taken to kind of shy away from what, and it's a shame maybe what the platform was founded on, that maybe privacy-centric, community-driven content, into something that is going to be more appropriate for agencies, brands and agencies to buy into. It also is indicative potentially of some of the resistance that brands directly may have on advertising in Reddit. And actually one of the roles agencies serve in that journey is to convince their brands that Reddit is a great environment, contextual environment, really powerful environment to serve ads in. And that sort of innate fear that brands have historically had on some of the dangers of advertising in Reddit, the concerns they may have, can be alleviated by having someone with an agency background that understands the language that needs to be spoken to brands from Reddit to help that process.
Mm. I mean, also, too, it's really interesting hearing you talk about how Reddit is sort of seen and viewed by people that use it. All of that makes sense, the desire to want to retain that kind of privacy-centric environment, which is community-led. And in fact, I wonder if Reddit is an example of where community-led moderation actually works quite well. I've heard, you know, friends who are strong Reddit users say what's great about it is if people are doing things, you know, making comments or doing things that are really offensive, they just get booted out straight away by everyone else in the community. Amazing. That's what you kind of want, right? So I can understand why you would want to preserve that as a, you know, as a consumer of Reddit or as a user of Reddit. But then on the other hand, do you think that this is an opportunity for brands to really build interesting, you know, interesting products and an interesting brand off the back of trying to appeal to a community-led environment, right? So it's not just about bombarding people with ads. It's actually about, oh, I've got this product that I think will really appeal to a particular demographic. Let me see if I can reach them on Reddit, and actually if that's a quality advertising experience, that could work really well for particular brands?
In theory, yes, completely. It's a beautiful idea, and I think if brands are willing to invest into that creativity that is required to have an engaging conversation in that environment, which is going to be very different to a lot of the other digital environments they're trying to have that conversation in, yes, absolutely. We're doing a lot of work as an agency with Pinterest at the moment for not dissimilar reasons. Pinterest is one of the few very contextual environments we can run advertising in. The way people engage with content is very organic and natural in there, and people feel very safe creating their spaces and boards on Pinterest. So it's kind of got a very similar, maybe not less community vibe, but more of a less ad-heavy environment.
Mm.
But we're still seeing challenges with brands really understanding the creative innovation that's required to properly engage audiences in that environment. And, you know, it's the age-old story that brands will just take what they're doing here and just try
apply it somewhere else
and hope it works. So the hope is that they maybe adapt, as you say, for what Reddit users require.
Yep. And nothing like having a big agency exec that's got loads of experience to try to drive that forward, yes. Presumably.
Hopefully. Yeah. I think it's definitely a positive move for Reddit. I've sat through years of speaking to Reddit reps trying to get brands to invest in there, and the fears have always been the same. I think one of the things that Reddit will probably help is the advertising capabilities of the platform. You know, it's taken TikTok quite a while to get up to scratch with what ad buyers, media buyers at agencies need from an advertising platform to want to continue investing in there, enjoy using it. Reddit also has a bit of a way to come, and I think that's what a hire like this will really help with, is a bit of familiarity with what media buyers at agencies need from those environments to want to buy ads in them. It's not just the idea of buying ads, it's the physical, practical, operational reality of buying ads in that environment also makes a difference.
100%. And I mean, as you said, it's going to supercharge their advertising business, which, you know, again, you know, perhaps altruistically, it would be nice if Reddit didn't need to have to rely on building out an ad business, but let's be honest, they're going to have to. But there is still, you know, like you said, perhaps it's a slightly wishful thinking, but I think there is still a place for much better quality advertising in a social media environment that does engage people and make them and draw them into products that they wouldn't have otherwise discovered. I have to say that even just from my, you know, total middle-aged person Instagram usage, I'm constantly discovering products on Instagram thinking, oh, actually, yeah, I would buy that. And so to me, that's sophisticated advertising compared with what display advertising on your laptop looked like, you know, 10, 15 years ago. That's sophisticated advertising.
100%.
So
my background's actually affiliate marketing originally. Mm. And through that background, I realized the power of user-generated content and reviews. And that's what Reddit has in abundance.
That's
it's
good
content, product reviews, and the power of being able to serve ads in an environment where you're getting validation from real users that product is actually a really good product is immense. And most and very few other platforms have that. Meta won't have that. You know, TikTok, Pinterest, they won't really have that to the same degree as Reddit has. And if you Google, and Google's actually done a very good job of ranking Reddit pages for product reviews, and you'll see that often on page one when you put product review searches into Google. And I think that's really evidence of the power of that organic review content. So being able to pair that with paid ads, you've got something really, really good.
Powerful.
Yeah, it's definitely a competitive stamp that they're trying to put out across, just exactly like you're saying, to compete against the likes of TikTok, compete against the likes of Instagram. So it's really interesting. And how important do you think it is for platforms to have these connections with ad agencies? Because obviously with this hire, they've got a very good in. How important do you think that is?
Probably the most important, really, for this hire to work. The majority of brands who work with, they will predominantly just want to advertise on Meta and Google. because that's what the brand is familiar with. That's what stakeholders, senior stakeholders in the brand is also very familiar with. So any new environments that they want to be advertising, it's either because it's a shiny new platform, TikTok being a great example of that. Not so new, but it's definitely a shiny platform that people want to be in at the moment. But it comes through introducing platforms like Pinterest or Reddit, that is generally very agency-led because often the stakeholders in the brand don't have a great understanding of what the power of those platforms can be. So someone at the agency needs to tell that story.
Yeah. And it speaks to me, actually, of the, you know, especially with lots of conversation and obsession within the advertising and marketing industry on AI and what AI is going to do to every element of marketing and advertising, including what's it going to do to the agency model. But the agency, I think this is a story of reminding us all how important, critically important agency expertise is. So no matter what, you know, these are sort of two slightly separate things, but no matter what happens with respect to AI, it's not going to overtake the expertise that agency executives and specialists have amassed over the years of working with clients. And exactly as you said, Daniel, some insight and understanding on how to advertise in a non-traditional environment. And so I think it's a mark of, you know, confidence in how important agencies are.
Well, yeah, Reddit is signalling a clear intent to scale its ad business. So let's see what unties there.
Speaking at ATS London next year.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your views, Daniel. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Amazing. And Rachel, as always, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And that's it for the MadTech Podcast this week.
You've been listening to the MadTech Podcast, brought to you by ExchangeWire.